Let's give it up right now for Dina Hashem!
Words appear. Dina Hashem, Dark Little Whispers. Dark Little Whispers. Inside a comedy club, a woman in her 30s wears her collar-length brown hair tied back. A man seated on the floor in front of the stage bows to Dina. She stands on the stage with a stool in front of a red striped curtain, wearing a yellow hoodie with dark blue pants and a burgundy t-shirt.
Hey. Everyone, wow, you guys seem so nice and fun. That's great. My vibe up here is usually kind of like tired, upset, and confused, but you guys have like put me in a good mood. You're killing my vibe. I got older this morning. It just keeps happening. There's no stopping it. I've tried all the creams. So I have to think about annoying stuff, you know, kids and marriage and all that. Does anyone have kids here? Clap if you have. Okay. I was going to ask if you regret it, but you sound happy about it. Is it going well? You like them? Okay, cool. I mean, love would be good, but like is good as well. My brother is older than me. He and his ex wanted to have a kid, and then they found out that she couldn't have kids. But it's okay, because, you know, technology now is such that they can mix up their, you know, potion of life and give it to someone else, and they can have the child for them, and that's beautiful. So they pitched this idea to me. Not a joke, this is real life. They asked if I would bear their child for them. Oh, don't worry, I didn't because of this reaction. No, I know, everything goes very quiet when I tell people that. I'll be honest, I was considering it just because, I don't know, I kind of think the best part about having a kid might be the pregnant belly. That's kind of all I want. All the attention, none of the responsibility. Everyone coming up to me for 9 months, like, oh my God, do you need anything? Do you want my seat? When are you due? Congratulations. And then I get to be like, oh no, it's my brother's. You know?
She picks up a drink from the stool and sips it through a straw.
I'll be drinking too. Like, don't worry, it's already fucked up. Don't worry.
She sets her drink on the stool.
I grew up in a very repressive family, you know. I just grew up feeling like I didn't know something that everybody else knows. I felt particularly behind about, like, sex and my body and stuff. But it's cool. I feel connected to men in that regard. Like, yeah, like, I don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on.
She waves her hand in front of her crotch.
Let's find the clit together. He's like, is that it? I'm like, your guess is as good as mine. Well, does it feel good? No, but that doesn't mean anything. I was with a guy once. He was also still learning about the female body. That made me feel good. He was about to go down there, you know, with his face, of all things. And right before he did, he looked me dead in the eyes and said, I'm not scared of anything.
She hunches slightly and covers her crotch with her hand.
I was like, okay. It's not a haunted house. Is that dirty talk? I don't know. I don't know what he saw down there, but it spooked him. I'm lying. I know exactly what he saw. I am covered in hair. I always have been. I was very insecure about it when I was younger. Like, I remember in high school, all the boys started saying this phrase, if there's grass on the field, play ball. Did you guys have that? You can figure out what it means. If not, if there's hay on the hay, put it in. Them's the rules. And so I had to be like, but if the grass is too long, do they cancel the game? No one cancels the game, right? Rain or shine.
She flashes the hang loose gesture.
My dad lived in the Middle East my whole life, in the Middle East. He left when I was very young, but you probably figured that out. But, If you see a woman holding a microphone, her dad is gone. Dada, can you find me now? The amplification help. I know it's not a very feminist thing to say. It applies to men too, but you know. Men have problems. We like to act like they don't, but men have problems too, right? In fact, clap if you're a straight white man right now, please. Clap if you're... Thank you, yeah. Did it feel nice to be heard right there? It's not a good time for you, right? You guys can't say anything without getting yelled at. And it's funny, it's pretty funny. But it's wrong. No, it's wrong. I think it's wrong. I'm on your side, actually. I want you to remember that for when you regain power. And you will. The tides are turning. We all see it. But, you know, you guys, I feel like you're afraid to, like, say how you really feel about some stuff. I feel like there's a mutually beneficial solution for us. I kind of want to start one of those, like, dollar-a-minute sexy hotlines for you guys, you know? Like,
she mimes a phone.
Are you a straight white man with some naughty opinions? Call 1-800-ME-3. And then you can call and be like, yes, I still think Woody Allen's funny. Like, ooh, you're bad. Tell me more. What about Kevin Spacey? It's a very interesting time to be alive. A lot of competing ideologies getting thrown out into the world. Like the anti-patriarchy movement. That's something a lot of people just don't like powerful men. I think it's interesting that this movement is happening at the same time as the superhero movie industrial complex. They don't really match ideologically, you know? I don't know. People are like, we hate powerful men. And Marvel is like, I'll bet you $1 billion you don't. I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy times. I don't mean to get into politics this early. But let's do a little softball question just to get the temperature of the room. Did anyone vote for Trump in here? Did anyone vote for Trump? Clap. Well, that's okay. I did. I did vote for him. But only because I have to vote for anybody who will keep my dad out of the country. Yeah. In some parts of the country, people clap for that for the wrong reason. Yeah, muzzle ban. I'm just tired of the division in this country. Aren't you tired of it? I'm bored. I'm so bored of it. It's so predictable. And I don't believe it. I don't believe we're all as different as we like to think. I think we're just, like, you know, told to fight each other so that we don't, like, unite with our common interests. Because I travel everywhere. I talk to a lot of people. And I don't know. I kind of think the main difference between conservatives and liberals is I think conservatives just like a guy like Trump, you know? I think they just like a con man, like an honest, straight up, in your face, this is what I am, con man. Whereas liberals like more of a con artist.
She shrugs and cocks her head.
They're not called the liberal arts for nothing, you know? Just a softer touch as we're being fucked, is that so much? Just put a little lube on it, that's all. They're not kid cages. They're migrant detention facilities. We're probably the most medicated country in the world. We all need some drug or other. I like weed. Weed's a good drug. It's not even really a drug anymore, right? It's candy. Give it to your kids. Who cares? I am a little bit addicted to weed just to go to sleep at night, I realized. I don't know if anyone needs weed to turn off their consciousness, but I haven't slept raw in years. Whenever I try to sleep without weed, I just wake up in the middle of the night with some fucked up thought, like, oh, I've never cried tears of joy before. Oh. Is that odd? So the weed turns all that off. That's good. And I need to sleep, so I need the weed. I love sleep too much. Do you guys love sleep? Oh, it's the best. I love sleep so much that I wish I could be awake for it. You know what I mean? I do like weed. I grew up in a Muslim family, so it was even harder to get away with smoking weed then. I had to, like, hide it. It's very hard to be a good Muslim when you're a stoner. You can't be high and on time 5 times a day. Have you ever tried to find the direction of Mecca while you're high? I'd just be like, I don't know, I feel like it's all around us. I do think about God a lot, about my spiritual journey, about my jihad. You know?
Dina raises her eyebrows.
Oh, laughter, interesting. Okay. Okay, this isn't your fault, it's just the media, as always. The word jihad in Arabic, it actually just means a struggle. It can mean many kinds of, like, personal or spiritual struggles. But I know because of, like, the Taliban and ISIS in the news, you heard the word jihad and you thought of terrorism immediately, right? Isn't that fucked up? It's like I can't even talk about my struggle anymore. So instead, I've been saying Mein Kampf. Yeah, but people get weird about that, too. So. That's just a fact that's out in the world. I just caught it and put it here, okay? So don't be mad at me. I think I was high when I realized that both those things mean that. It's kind of beautiful, like, wow, we're all not so different, you know? I do get death threats a lot, if anyone's wondering. It's crazy to get death threats. I'm not even supposed to be here, you know? You guys can feel it, right? Like, I'm not supposed to be on a stage. I'm supposed to be, like, having depression at the library, you know? It's crazy that I'm doing this. I've always been a very, like, quiet, like, socially anxious person my whole life. I've just always been very scared of people, like, scared to say what I think. And so I've just been very quiet, you know, up until I started doing this. And people will let you know when you're quiet, you know, during a conversation. If you don't say anything for like 5 minutes, they're like, oh, you're so quiet. And it sounds like a slur when they say it. They're like, you're so quiet. Not like me, the god of chit-chat. You fucking silent slug. The bigotry, you know, we don't really hear enough about the bigotry against quiet people. We just need more voices raised about it because we can't do it ourselves. This was all an accident. I was in college and I tried out for a contest for stand-up because this guy I had a crush on was doing it. And so we did it together. And then I won. And then we hooked up. And during that hookup, he was like, I'm not scared of anything. And I was like, well, now I gotta go back on stage. And so that's how I got here. And now I get death threats just for telling jokes. But I've come to accept being misunderstood. It's just a part of, like, putting your voice out into the world. It's actually a miracle that we understand each other at all, right? Like, when I'm talking to you now, it's not just me talking. It's everyone who's ever put a thought or idea into my head, every experience I've ever had, anyone who's ever hurt me. That's all coming out. And then when you listen, it's not just you listening. It's everyone who's put an idea or a thought into your head, and you're interpreting me with all of that going on. So even in just one conversation, it's like we're talking with 1,000 mouths and hearing with 1,000 ears, and yet we somehow still manage to understand each other, and that's beautiful. And when we don't understand each other, you can always send a death threat. It's weird to get a death threat and then click on their profile to see, like, who they are. And I will tell you, it's shocking how young some of these people on the internet are compared to what they're willing to say to you. I've had to ask myself questions I never thought I've had to ask. Like if a 15-year-old DMs me, I'm gonna rape you. And then I respond, you wouldn't know what to do. is that legally sexting a minor? Am I in trouble now? Do you guys like drugs? Ooh, yeah, drugs. They're good. Drugs are good. So weird how they got that wrong when we were kids, right? Do you remember that? There was like a lion and they were like, drugs are bad. And then you grow up and you're like, no, they're good. They're good and I need them. So yeah. I like psychedelics too. I'd say like weed, acid, mushrooms. These are the good drugs, right? Safe, healthy, mind expanding. Quarantine was the best time to get into psychedelics. It was the only way you could travel. So I took some trips, you know. I sat in my childhood bedroom, took some mushrooms, put some music on, start freaking myself out. And mostly make cryptic Zoom calls to my friends. That's what I did all of 2020. I would take shrooms and call somebody up like, have you heard the song Low by R.E.M.? They're like, no. Like, don't listen to it.
She mimes hanging up a phone.
It'll change everything. If anyone's like psych curious and like is kind of afraid to try them, the way I like to describe it is like, so right now you're sober and you don't know it, but your mind has a very tight leash on it, okay? But then you take the psychedelics and for the first time the leash comes off and you're like, go on, girl, see all the new sights, smell all the new smells. And then 8 hours later, like, I don't know if she knows the way back. Maybe I should call the police and help look for it. Then you get your phone and your lock screen's like, don't call the police while you're high. Love, sober Dina. Wow, thanks, Dina. Whoever you are. I had a breakup during the choir as well. My ex during the lockdowns lived in Scandinavia, so that was a problem at the time. Has anyone been to like Norway, Sweden? Okay, a few of you have passive income. That's good. It's the most expensive place in the world. Okay, so those of you who haven't been there, when you go to that part of the world for the first time as an American, you realize that there are societies out there that are designed to actually help people. And then you come back to America and you're like, oh, the government doesn't care if I live or die. It's just obvious. I just mean like there they pay taxes and they get like, you know, a social safety net and like health care and a good education. And here we pay them and, you know, the military drones and Middle Eastern daycare or whatever. I didn't push the button. It's just different cultures. That's all I'm saying. So he and I would fight about this. He tried to pretend like they have real problems, but they don't. And one time we got into a fight. He was like, well, you know what? During World War II. Yeah, which already he lost the argument because he had to reach back like 8 decades to find an issue. Also, the whole world had a problem then, but he's like, during World War II, when the Nazis came to Norway, my grandparents had to ski to Sweden to escape. I laughed as well. Just because, yeah, I don't know, even like one of their deepest, darkest traumas sounds whimsical. Skiing from the Nazis? Yes, I saw that episode of Scooby-Doo. I'm just saying skiing from the Nazis in Sweden would still be the nicest vacation I've ever been on. Because we didn't have family vacation money. We didn't really do that. But that's fine. I didn't really want, you know, a vacation as a kid. What I really wanted was a door. I didn't grow up with a room until like high school. I just got shoved in like a corner of the living room because we couldn't afford like another bedroom for me. And I just felt like super violated. Like my mom, you know, very strict Muslim lady, and she would just like come into my room whenever MySpace. Sorry, this was the original MySpace. Whenever she wanted. One time, you know, I got rebellious and I hung up a poster of Blink 182 on my wall. Okay. And not 24 hours later did she hang up a poster of Mecca on top of it. So I wasn't very attached to, like, my homes, you know. Our apartment when I was very young got destroyed in a fire, and so it happened in the middle of the night, and I remember, like, my family was all, like, crowded outside the apartment building, and they were, like, freaking out and crying. Like, I was too young to process it, and also I didn't even have a room, so I didn't really care, you know, just, like... She's like, I hope the hotel has a pool, you know? And then we drove to the nearest hotel, which was the Sheraton. And I'll never forget this moment. It's probably one of my earliest memories. We went to the lobby and we explained our situation and said, hi, we just lost, you know, all of our earthly possessions. We're technically homeless at the moment. Could we just, like, have a free room for the night? And they said... No, but you can sleep in the lobby if you want. And that was my moment of political radicalization, even as a 6-year-old. I was like, wow, corporations aren't people. And they thought they could get away with it because this was before social media, you know. But little did the Sheraton know that that little girl would someday grow up to publicly hold them to account. In one of the most niche and reviled art forms there is, next to slam poetry. So fuck the Sheraton. Anyway, so I didn't have privacy when I was young, and I was just like felt violated all the time. The bathroom became my favorite place because it was the only time I could lock the door. And I remember that feeling. It was like orgasmic to just lock the door and have my own a sense of peace. It's amazing that I don't have any weird like bathroom fetishes now. I'm very thankful for that. But it was my only moment of like just, you know, of privacy. I had to lie all the time just to have a sort of normal childhood, you know, lie about where I was, who I was with, lie about if I was dating, because, you know, I didn't want to get sent to like Egypt or hell or anything. But I was like 19, and my mom just, she had these like, these just spidey senses for men, and she started suspecting I was dating somebody, and she was correct, but I denied it, of course. But she just couldn't let it go, and she asked my grandma for advice. And my grandma, she's OG, you know, and she's like, well, there's only one way for me to know if she's still a virgin or not, and that's to check her hymen. Yeah. Have you ever had to turn down your own grandma before? I didn't know how to do it either. I couldn't be like, sorry, I have a boyfriend. You know? So, she didn't do it, just to clarify. I feel like people get hung up on the grandma fingering part, but I turned her down. So I'm very suspicious about, like, the family structure. I just, the way I grew up, I just, like, saw it not really work out. So I'm suspicious about, like, getting married and, like, all that. For me, the last appeal of getting married is to get to stop grooming down there. Are there any married women here who can confirm that it's over? Anybody?
She scans the crowd.
I'm going to take that to mean none of you are married. I hope. Here's my ideal wedding. Okay, we say our vows at the altar. We put the rings on. Next step, I take out the razor. I fold it up in an American flag.
She salutes and nods her head.
You've done your duty to the patriarchy. Thank you very much. Now I'm free, right? That's how it should be. I only have one female friend who's married, and I started getting freaked out because one day she started complaining about waxing down there. Could you imagine? And I was confused, not only because she's already married, but also because she wears Crocs.
She mimes looking the friend up and down.
It's like, if you want to give up, just give up. What is this 1 foot in, 1 foot out of caring about yourself? Both feet have Crocs on. Just let it go. I'm sorry if I'm offending the croc demographic. You all seem to have self-respect. I don't know. When I see a pair of crocs, to me it's like the opposite of the bat signal. It's like, don't come save me, I'm already dead. Not that I'm a fashion person myself. I've been mistaken for homeless before. I like to think it's just because this is my job, so I'll be like in the city on the train on the way to a show, and I'm practicing, which looks like...
She stares at the floor, mutters to herself, and gestures randomly.
And then some homeless guy is like, how long you been on the streets? I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm an artist. He's like, so was I. That's how I got here. Oh, I'll see you soon. I have done a pretty good job of avoiding having a lot of money or power. Very deliberately avoiding, very, very deliberately. You know, people are just like throwing money and influence opportunities at me, and I'm just like, get away from me. Because I got a little inside tip that the meek are going to inherit the earth.
Dina points to herself.
Just trying to, like, not ruin my inheritance and just stay low profile. You know? I just hope this inheritance comes in soon, because Earth's stock is tanking, you know what I mean? But the meek will inherit the Earth. It really is something from religion that I, like, cling on to, and I think it's a very beautiful idea that there will be some eternal justice for those who have so little while others have so much, you know? Are there any believers here? Does anyone believe in any God at all? Clap if you believe in any God at all.
Dina's eyes widen.
Okay, yeah, God is out. Right now. God and straight white men are out. There's probably a correlation there. You heard that, those were like golf claps for the Lord.
She mimes clapping.
I don't know, is he listening? Par four? I don't know. Interesting. It must be weird to believe in God and then get plastic surgery. Because presumably you'll die one day and be face to face with God, and God will be looking at you like, so you didn't like my work? And you have to be like, no, I loved it. All your other creatures weren't responding to it. But my soul is still good, right? Like, my inner soul can still get into heaven. But if I were God, I'd be offended. Like, oh, sorry, no returns without the original packaging, actually. Like, wow, Jeff Bezos has a better return policy than that. Well, you can talk to him. He's downstairs. If Amazon buys the special, we'll edit that out. You know, it'll be fine. I would like to be more religious. I guess what bothers me the most is just, why is God playing coy, right? Why all the guessing games? If God is real, why don't they just say so? Then we can all be good people. And that's why I think God is probably a woman. And Judgment Day is kind of like God's birthday. So you die and show up at the pearly gates like, oh, well, you didn't say anything, so I didn't do anything for you. And God's like, well, why do I have to say anything? You should just know. And you're like, yeah, but if you had just said something, I would have come prepared. We'd both be happy right now. And God's like, heck no, go to hell. So anyway, this gives me a lot of anxiety, doing this. I realized that doing this gives me anxiety during the lockdowns. There was no stand-up comedy, no live shows. And for me, anxiety has always manifested as stomach issues. But during the lockdowns, and I'm sorry to say this, I was dropping some solid logs. And then as soon as things opened up again, I had to go back to work. A mess. Just the ones where, you know, you're like on the toilet and you're wiping for like 15 minutes. And you're like, this is crazy. I'm an adult. I have things to do. I can't just be sitting here doing this. I get so frustrated, I start shouting at my asshole. Like it's a dog jumping out of the tub. I guess you don't want to get clean. I guess you just don't want to get clean. Some of you are acting like you don't relate to that joke, and you're cowards, just so you know. Sometimes I try to think of like how I can stop the anxiety, you know. I kind of feel like I could go for another like private lockdown. And I think that would look like if I just fell into like a very benign coma. And then I woke up in my hospital bed when nobody's around. And then just milk the coma for like, just like a couple more months, you know. How can they prove it? What, are they going to tickle me? So you're just there. Could you imagine the peace and the quiet? Just lying there, all of your like hopes and ambitions and responsibilities just float away. It's the closest you can get to being at your own funeral, right? Just seeing, hearing wave and wave after family and friends just coming to your bedside, telling you how much they love you, how much they miss you. And most importantly, finally apologizing for the various transgressions they committed against you. And you just get to lie there and soak it in. And if anybody starts talking about any, like, pulling the plug, you just give a little...
With her eyes closed, she leans her head back.
I do try to think about, like, when things first started getting really crazy in this country. I just, like, try to remember the timeline. So many different, like, crazy events have happened. I lose track of them. The names of the cities and the people. It's crazy. Charlottesville, I think, was one of the earlier ones. Do you guys remember Charlottesville? There was, like, the racists marching with, like, the tiki torches. In retrospect, that's almost kind of, like, innocent. Tiki torches? I think they had some sort of chant as well. I guess, like, I don't want mosquitoes or immigrants on my lawn. Whatever it was, it might have been less creative than that. I went to Charlottesville shortly after that happened to do a comedy show. And I'll never forget, this sweet woman came up to all the comedians afterward, and she just thanked us for even coming there. And she was like, I just want you to know that it wasn't even really the people of Charlottesville that did this horrible thing. A bunch of people came from places out of town and did this horrible rally and ruined our reputation forever. And that broke my heart, and I told her, I understand, because I'm from New Jersey. And there was this TV show called The Jersey Shore. But it starred all these people from Staten Island. And they ruined our otherwise pristine reputation. We just both got fucked by white guys with tiki torches, you know? In New Jersey, there's this breakfast meat. And everybody fights over whether you call it a pork roll or a Taylor ham. I don't know if you've heard about this debate, but it's a big deal to people from New Jersey. And my friends, when I was young, asked me, like, Dina, what do you think it is? Like, oh, I don't know. I think you're all going to hell. Doesn't matter to me which way you get there, you know? In a way, people from New Jersey were, like, the first to know that we were a deeply divided country. It's like the last time we were really united in this country was 9/11, right? Isn't that crazy to think? The last time we had like mutual empathy for each other was this horrible tragedy. It's weird to like feel nostalgic for 9/11. It's fucked up. And we were told, never forget. I think what was really meant by that was that sense of unity. Never forget that sense of unity. And yet, here we are, we forgot. It's also weird to think that there was a slogan for 9/11. That didn't just happen organically. It didn't just start appearing everywhere. There had to be like a marketing meeting, right? I just like to imagine that meeting of like politicians and marketing people. And one marketer is like, okay, I think I got it. 9/11, never forget. And that crushes, right? Everyone's like, that's good. That's somber. That's timeless. That's respectful. Fits on a toy NASCAR model car. Which is an item currently in the 9/11 gift shop, I checked. They're like, okay, we'll probably go with that, but I don't know, are there any alts? Can we get some alts variations on 9/11, never forget, something similar but different? And someone's like, yeah, how about 9/11, unforgettable? Yeah, that's like almost the same. But now it kind of sounds like a rave review. This is a tragedy, not a tour de force performance. And then some firefighter is like, how about 9/11? Don't forget about it. And the governor's like, could you go back to ground zero, please? We'll call you a hero, never pay for your health care. You get it, right? I'm calling attention to the issue. It's not the issue that gets talked about. I can't believe we're still stuck on abortion. Isn't that crazy? We've been talking about abortion for so many years in this country, and we still just can't get over it. Has anyone had one?
She looks left and right.
Anyone had? Okay. Okay, I'll be brave. Once again, seems to be my job. And say that I had one. I had an abortion. Just to draft myself into the culture war, you know? I was only like five weeks pregnant. That's not really an abortion, right? That's like dropping a yolk on the floor. It's just a bit of goo that has to go away. I was in Australia when I found out, and I was younger, and I was traveling alone. And I just had a bad feeling, and so I went to go get a pregnancy test, which, not easy to find, by the way, at the pharmacy, at least back then. And I was embarrassed and younger. I didn't want to say out loud, hey, where are the pregnancy tests? But I found the diaper aisle. So I was like, excuse me, where is the aisle before this one? And then he brought me to the condoms aisle. Where's the aisle after this one? We got there. So I got it. I got the test and I took it and I was preg. And I was so freaked out. I felt so alone and so scared. I just never thought that could happen to me. I never thought I'd have to be faced with that decision. And I was trying to calm myself down. I was like, you know what? It's cool. I'm in Australia. I bet I'll get a really chill Australian abortion, you know? I'll walk in and they'll be like, yeah, let's get that shrimp on the Barbie, you know? But I actually didn't end up having time to get it done there. I had to come back to America and pay for it. And my boyfriend at the time only offered to pay for half. Yes, we went Dutch on the abortion. That's not cool. I don't know. I just feel like if the woman has to go through the physical and emotional burden of doing that, the least the guy could do is bear the financial burden. I think that's fair. Yeah. I guess it's kind of like a reverse ransom. Like, give me $300 if you never want to see your kid again. I met a guy who actually had a pregnancy fetish. Preg porn, that's what he liked. I don't want to like kink shame, but I couldn't get into it personally, you know. And I was like, why that? And he goes, I just think it would turn me on to feel a life inside of you. Yeah. I was like, I'm alive. I mean, I know the voice throws it off, but like, I'm in here, you know? I thought that was rude. Also knew a guy who had a foot fetish. It was more of a DM. He was seeking, you know, foot photos for cash. And I was like, I don't know, they're feet, I don't care. The real problem was that we couldn't decide if I should send the photos first or if he should send the money first. He was like, well, I think you should send the photos first because I've been scammed before. I was like, okay, but you're the freak in this transaction. So I think you should send the money first. We were at an impasse. So I was like, okay, I'll send you one toe now and the rest when I get the money. And then I sent the toe and he was like, actually, I'm good. That's rude, right? That's rude. Like, I knew I shouldn't have sent the big toe. It looks so big without the context of the other toes. I like to get an interesting fetish. I went to a sex store to try to look for a fetish. I don't know if you guys have been to the sex store recently, but it's a brave new world of customer service. In the sex store, I walked in and this woman was like, do you have any questions about anything? But I got nervous. I just picked something up like, what's this one do? And with no hesitation, she goes, oh, this one. You're going to want to insert that into your pussy face forward. And that way it's going to hit your G-spot while also bouncing on your clit. I was like, do you want to get out of here?
Dina's mouth gapes. She touches her hand to her chest.
Nobody wearing a name tag has ever talked to me like that. I tipped her. I didn't know what to do. They got a wet floor sign. Anyway, I thought it'd be a fun, sexy date idea, you know, to like go with a guy to a sex store, but you have to make sure you're close enough to somebody before you do that. Like if they're more advanced than you, it can get very awkward. You have to start blaming the prices for why you don't like things. He's like, how about these anal beads? Like in this economy? I'm trying to own a home one day. But you meet a lot of weirdos trying to find love, you know, they're out there. I went on a date with a guy who could just flip everything I said into something sexual. I'm sure you have friends like that. He was like, what kind of music do you like? I was like, oh, I've been listening to the Beatles. I know that's lame, but I think they're cool. And his eyes lit up, and I thought we were going to connect, but he goes, what Beatles song would you fuck me to? I was like, oh, help. It won't be long. Probably not come together. But I hope our country comes together very soon. Maybe that's what we need, one giant drunken orgy. I don't really know. Because I'll tell you, I do travel everywhere, and the one thing that we still have in common in this country is that we love to get drunk. It's really our primary culture. And I think it's beautiful. We've all mutually decided that slowly poisoning ourselves to death is fun. And it's great. We're in one big death cult. That's cool. I like drinking wine. That's my favorite way to get drunk. But my only problem with wine is I don't know anything about it, and I refuse to learn. So I'll just go to a store and ask for advice on buying a bottle. And it's like an interview to do that. They ask you so many questions. This man was like, do you have a preference on the origin of the wine? I'm like, no. This store is fine.
She gives a thumbs up.
And I thought that would end the conversation, but he just went with it. Like, okay, what will you be having the wine with? like, hurt my mouth. Some pills if you really want to know. And then the last question is always the most bizarre. They go, do you prefer your wine sweet or dry? Like, those aren't opposites. Those aren't even the same category of things. One's a flavor, the other's a feeling. Sweet or dry, I don't know, sir. Do you prefer your eggs scrambled or in the summertime? Okay, I'm Dina Hashem. Thank you very much.
Dina waves to the crowd. Words appear on a black background, written and performed by Dina Hashem. Directed and edited by James Webb. Dina plays drums in an amateur video. Credits: audio description by Descriptive Video Works, written by Bixie Jean, narrated by Nigel Mojica. Executive producers Dina Hashem, Sam Morrell, Kelly Van Valkenburg, and James Webb. Produced by James Webb, Andrew Massey, Tony Massey, and Joey Sorrell. Seated behind a drum kit, Dina takes a break from playing and waves her hand below her face. She wears headphones while playing drums. Titles, graphics, color, sound by James Webb. Music written and performed by Dina Hashem and Chris Palermo. Intro music mix, Jake Colonius. BTS filmed by Chris Palermo. Dina fans herself, then wipes sweat from her face. Production designer James Webb. Set decor provided by Andrew Massey, Tony Massey, and Joey Sorrell. Set dressers Jacob Deitch, Max Deitch, Matt Farrell, Tony Massey, James Webb. Dina stands in front of a large monitor at a recording studio. Special thanks: Russ Clark, Mom, Dan Perlman, Matt Amanetta, Forrest, Max Antonucci, Vicky Dew, Sammy Brunowski, Dan Rosen, Dexter Mason, John F. O'Donnell, Ben Figueroa, Katie Marshall, Andreas Valhuli, Ben Schimmel, Stacey Mark, Fidel Barajas, Natalie Molina, Sarah Wortman, Eric Darnell, The Comedy Cellar, Tiny Cupboard, Gotham Comedy Club, Eastville Comedy Club, The Stress Factory, Mark McCoy, Andrew Schwartzall, Rebecca Trent, Jamie Liebenbach, Silver Cord Studios, Wyckoff Windows. Additional credits scroll. Filmed at the Lincoln Lodge, 2040 Milwaukee, Chicago, Illinois, 60647.
Oh my God, are you recording?
By a bunch of scrappy Chicago kids on December 3rd, 2022. Dina Hashem, Dark Little Whispers, copyright 2023 Shame Machine LLC. All rights reserved. Logos appear: Pop Studios, Amazon Studios.